Good morning, Sower Nation. It is Tuesday, May the 19th, in the year of our Lord, 2026. I'm John David Walt, and this is your wake-up call. Before I get going this morning, I just want to thank everybody for all the cards and notes that you sent to my dad. Oh my gosh, when we went to the mailbox one day last week, it was overflowing. It was unbelievable. He could not believe it. And I can promise you, he's going one to the next, to the next, to the next every day. So thank you for that. That really was a gift. And if you're looking over my shoulder and the YouTube, you're seeing a little painting back there. And I want to give a credit to the artist of that painting. I was out in Savannah, you know, a couple weeks ago, and a friend, a reader, a sower named Bill Darden brought that to one of our gatherings. He's in the Savannah area, Savannah, Georgia. And he said he painted that and wanted me to have it. It's a beautiful vase, flowers crossing the water. You couldn't see it that well from here, but it's cool. And Bill, I appreciate that. Okay, now it's Tuesday. It's Taco Tuesday. This is the last Tuesday of our Ephesians session. In fact, I think we'll finish Ephesians proper tomorrow, and then I'm working on a few extra days for us. So let's begin with consecration today. Wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Jesus, we belong to you. And we're praying in the name of the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, today's entry is entitled, Thanks Tychicus. Thanks Tychicus. Our text is Ephesians chapter 6, verses 21 and 22. Hear now the word of the Lord. Tychicus, the dear brother and faithful servant in the Lord, will tell you everything, so that you also may know how I am and what I am doing. I am sending him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage you. The word of the Lord. Now consider this. Before we leave this celebrated letter, let's remember its celebrated author. Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus from a Roman prison cell. It had to be one of his final letters, and he must have known it. One of the most enduring and important letters ever written in the history of the world was written at perhaps the lowest moment in the history of Paul. We wouldn't know things were going too badly for Paul from reading his letter. He references the incomparably great power of the gospel for we who believe, and the ability of God to do far beyond all we can ask or even imagine by his power at work within us. Paul writes of the enormity of the riches of the heavens at the fingertips of the followers of Jesus. All of this, yet Paul is locked up in chains in a dank prison cell in the most powerful city of the most powerful empire by the most powerful ruler in the world. What must this have been like for Paul? He could not know his short letters to his several small churches would become the most read documents in all of history. He intended his letters to be shared among the several churches he served, but in his wildest imaginings, he wouldn't have grasped that they would ultimately find their way to billions of people in millions of churches. No vision, mission, or strategic plan could even remotely fathom such an outcome. Paul shows us the gospel doesn't advance by strategic plans, but by surrendered servants. They locked him up, but they could not shut him down. They could imprison the man, but they could not confine the gospel. "Woe to me," he said, "if I do not preach the gospel." That's 1 Corinthians 9:16. He shows us that when the chips are down and you're not sure you will live to see the next year, you could still write the next letter. The gospel advances on the abandonment of its servants. None of us knows what is next in our lives, though most all of us live in the illusion that we do. We could be riding the highest high today and hit the lowest low tomorrow. It doesn't matter. History will not remember our circumstance unless heaven records our obedience. When our circumstances do not make sense, the only interpreter will be our obedience. Our job is to do the next good thing, which is the next God thing. Write the letter. Make the call. Give the money. Sponsor the child. Help the stranger. Forgive the debt. Quit your day job. Take the journey. Forgive your enemy. Forgive your parents. Lay down your life for your friend. Throw the nets into the deep water where you know there can't possibly be any fish. Step out of the boat and walk on the water. Deliver the mail. Yes, thank you, Tychicus, for delivering the mail. Let's pray. Abba, Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus, who only said what he heard you saying, and who only did what he saw you doing. Thank you for showing us this same thing in the Apostle Paul. Would you let the same thing be said of our lives? That will be enough. In Jesus' name, amen. The journal prompts today. So what do you appreciate about the Apostle Paul? What circumstance in your life, now or in the past, presented what seemed like an impossible barrier to fulfilling God's plan? And last, what does the next good thing look like? The next right thing? The next God thing? What does that look like right now, despite what may be in the way of it? All right. Thanks, Tychicus, for delivering the mail. You know, one thing I know is that you just don't know what God is up to. And I know a lot of you, you're carrying heavy burdens. You're suffering through profound struggles. And many of you, at least some of you, you just don't know if you're going to make it. You kind of want to give up. You're tired. And, you know, you're not stopping believing in God, but you're kind of stepping back a little bit. And you're just letting go of really believing God. I just want to encourage you today. That's what Paul said. He said, Tychicus, he will encourage you. I think that's what I am, kind of another Tychicus, just like you. You're another Tychicus. And I just want to encourage you that by the grace of God, by the presence of Jesus Christ in you, that you're going to make it and that it's going to be worth it. So, as Paul says to us there in Ephesians chapter 6, stand firm. Stand firm. Put on the full armor of God. And just keep waking up today. And then tomorrow, which will be today again. And then the day after that, which will be today again. Don't even just take tomorrow out of the vocabulary. Don't worry about tomorrow, Jesus said. Tomorrow's got enough worries of its own. He says, sufficient are the concerns of today. And he also said, today, this scripture, this word is fulfilled in your hearing. He is with you. He is in you. He is for you. And he's moving through you. So no matter how big the mountain, just keep telling it to move in Jesus' name. No matter how difficult the obstacle that you're facing right now. And, you know, no matter the outcome of the battle, that's the amazing thing about Jesus, is that by his grace, by his act of death and resurrection and ascension, even when you lose, you win. So you actually can't lose. In fact, all of us are losing our way into winning. So take heart, Jesus said. In this world, in this life, he said, you're going to have trouble. But take heart. I have overcome the world. All right, you ready to sing? I'm going to hand it over. Dad's with me today. We're ready to sing together. Let's go. Well, Dad, we're on the day before the last day of the end of Ephesians. It has been a good journey.
Amen to that, it has.
You've been with us every day reading it, a lot of days singing it. Tomorrow we'll finish it. And after that, I'm not sure, but I'll tell you what is coming next Monday is going to be Dan Wilt. And he's going to be leading us through the days of Pentecost in a series called All the Things. And I can't wait, because Dan knows about all the things that Jesus did. And it's a book on everyday ministry in the power of the Holy Spirit. So we're looking forward to that. But we got to sing today. And why don't you tell them what we're singing today?
We're going to sing an old familiar song, How Great Thou Art.
What's the page?
Page 32.
32.
The Great Redeemer's Praise.
Great Redeemer's Praise. Now, we're going to sing verse 1, 3, and 4.
1, 3, and 4.
How Great Thou Art. You know this hymn. Just encourage you to, you know, we're not just singing, we're worshiping God. We're lifting everything we know of ourselves up to everything we know
about God,
of him.
And this is how we fight our battles. This is how we win the day. You ready? Oh, Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
Verse 3.
And when I think that God, his Son, not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in, that on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, his blessing died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with shouts of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Amen.
You know who was listening? Friend Chris Tomlin. Chris, you remember Chris?
Oh, yeah.
Well, Chris, he wrote a song that was one of the biggest songs in the world. And he wrote it, he was inspired by this song. And it's a song that is literally sung all over the world. And it's in our hymnal, I think. It's called How Great Is Our God. You've
How
heard it.
Great.
How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God. Everybody knows that song, and we're very proud of Chris for bringing that one into the church.
Where is he now?
He's in Franklin, Tennessee, and I know right where he's sitting, and and a lot of times I remember he would bring this chorus into the end of singing How Great Is Our God, Then Sings My Soul. So, thanks for that, Chris. And everybody, it's time to hit the fields today. We got good work to do. We're going to see a lot of people. Just be aware. Be conscious. Jesus is in you, and he wants to bless other people through you. So, let him. Just go with him. Follow him. Take the risks that he prompts. And That's why we say every day, for the awakening, I'm J.D. Walt.
And I'm David Walt.
And we'll see you
on the field.
We'll see you on the field.
By the way, it's a soybean field.
It's a soybean field today. Rice field yesterday.